Beautiful.
Big cup. What are
you doing?
You're not going to have anything?
I'm going to have some in a little while. Did you actually find something? We've seen the one in Dallas News, but it doesn't know who did it.
I found the one article from the Denton Chronicle. Mm-hmm. And it says that they thought vigilantes were working this area. Mm-hmm. But the Dallas Times Herald says that they had been accused of cattle and horse stealing. There were five people.
Five of them, but one of them
got away.
According to the records I read, one of them was a boy.
Was Silas.
Mm-hmm. But he was only...
He was only 15.
Mm-hmm. And, so
and John, his brother, was 21. Mm-hmm. And they're buried in our parish cemetery, mm-hmm. which I have argued with Mary Evelyn about, but they are buried there. Mm-hmm. See, they buried all of them there. And it looked like a storm cellar. It was maybe about this tall,
mm-hmm.
rounded, and they were all in there, mm-hmm. and it had old bricks over it. Mm-hmm. And all the years that we had gone to that cemetery to family burials, we were told horse feet.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody ever told us they were related.
They were all related, huh?
But mm-hmm. when I started all this, mm-hmm. I found out it was relatives.
Uh-huh.
Her dad, I mean, their dad was also hung over by Hackberry Creek,
uh-huh.
which is probably right around where Valley View and Luna over in that area,
uh-huh.
because he made a statement that the South would never win the war. Yes, they'd hang you for anything back
uh-huh.
then.
So that was
Josiah Record.
Josiah Record, who was the father of
Elijah Jane.
Elijah Jane Record, who became Elijah Jane
Parrish.
And married James and Henry Parrish later on. And so he was hung over there, trying to make sure we get everything on this tape. So you look at his horse thieves, and that's interesting enough. There are two great mysteries, and a lot of great mysteries, but that's one of them, and the other was of course, the main copy of all these things like that are still mysteries and all those. But
it used to be Gibbs.
Yeah, it was Gibbs and Gibbs Station. Before that, maybe even Rags, they said. But a lot of things like that. I had an appointment with Salty at one time. Oh, it's been two or three years ago, at least, to get together and just do this. Sit down and listen to him talk. And I said, Salty, we need to do this because we're one of the few left and we need to get some things.
I'm glad I loved him dearly, but everything that he would have told you is hearsay
and
story. Because his father, his grandfather, no, his father, you know, had a lot of old tales.
Right. Once we lost him, we lost a good chance.
But it's really hard to... I mean, I have worked on this for 10 years. I've been to Austin many times. They have great records.
Yeah.
And then you start realizing that some of that was just stories, glorified, whatever sounds good, I guess.
Yeah.
And you know, you've got people together, and these young kids hear that, it just keeps...
Yeah. Well, once something is said, particularly around something is written down, if it's false, you've got trouble. You can't spread it. I know the story about James Parrish riding all the way to Mexico to get a deed to his property. Has been around since I was a kid. And I've seen it in writing many times.
So have I.
And I often wondered why he would do that. First of all, that's a long ride. And I often doubted that, but I never knew where they got the story.
From Bert Parrish, that he went all the way to Mexico and they gave him a league of land.
Mm-hmm.
And then they asked him to come back and be part of Peter's colony to bring people in here.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is the only land that James Fish ever had.
Mm-hmm.
It's down there, the land grant.
Because
I have been through all of the records. The
only
place that had a league land was the Daniel Parrish.
Mm-hmm. Something interesting, let's get your opinion on this, something I speculated on. I'm going to study these maps with the Parrish on it, but it's kind of hard to tell, you know, they're so old, exactly where everything was just going to creeks and things.
Mm-hmm.
But in your opinion, as you go down Moore Road, where was the parish 640 acres?
Well, it...
Was it on the east side, the west side?
If you were on Moore Road going towards Beltline, it started at, let's say, Moore Road, Beltline, all the way to Sandy Lake. Mm-hmm.
Sandy Lake.
And
Sandy
all the way
to the
shelter
down. So he had been on the east side, that would be the left if you're going toward Beltline, on the same side where the cemetery is.
Mm-hmm.
So he had everything from Sandy Lake Road
to Beltline.
You know why I suspected that was true? Because I got to measuring it one time and made some discoveries. Moore Road between Sandy Lake Road and Beltline, or at least between Creek and Sandy Lake Road, which is where that would have been, is exactly 1 mile.
Mm-hmm.
And 640 acres of land, if it's square, is a mile square. Mm-hmm. That's where a mile comes from, evidently. And if his land was square, then he had everything that you're saying that was bounded by Sandy Lake Road, Moore, Beltline,
and Carrollton Dam.
Over to Carrollton Dam, to the creek then, Yellow Fork Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a square mile of land, mm-hmm. which is 638. That's what I figured. Because both cemeteries...
out in the land grant
here.
In both
cemeteries are on that side.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've seen some maps that also show that Henry Parrish owned some land on the other side of the road at one time.
Well, he bought it.
And he bought it and added it to his thing. Mm-hmm. And the grant was on this side. So somewhere over there was the log cabin. On that side, do you have any idea particularly where that was in relation? Of course, nowadays you can up over there. But
you know where the parish cemetery is?
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be a little, let's see, get my bearings straight. I had a picture of it. It's right in the area.
It'd probably be south of the cemetery, wouldn't it?
Between Bethel Cemetery and the Parish Cemetery. Yes. Yes.
Was it very far from the family cemetery, you think? Halfway, or?
Yes. Well, you know where Bethel School Road is?
Mm-hmm.
It was fairly close to there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That would account for the
Bethel
growing up in that area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also have the records on the Bethel Church.
Yeah.
And it states in there that it was to be used for school also. So it was Bethel School.
Yeah.
And I meant to bring them, and I will get them to you.
I have a copy of where they tried to evidently try to build Bethel Church one time. And then I have another copy of the deed where they did, and they did use it as a school, and of course later they built a schoolhouse next to it. But I have a couple of things where the trustees get in, and it was called, I do have some that I dug out. Probably somebody gave me them. I think when they were doing research for the Bethel Cemetery.
I even have the church records for Bethel Church.
That's wonderful.
My mother's half-sister was the secretary for years. Pearl. But she married a Moore.
Really? When do you think that church ceased to operate? Do you have any idea?
It was long after 1920. My Aunt Belle, that still lives here,
mm-hmm.
went to that church.
Mm-hmm.
I can look at it and give you the dates when some of their kids,
mm-hmm.
So it lasted a long time.
That's really a quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And
my other uncle,
Jack Kirkland and even Clay, I can remember seeing it and being in it for that
mm-hmm.
matter, many times. Somebody was telling me a story, didn't it burn? I think they were telling me a story that maybe it wasn't being used, and then eventually it burned. I think somebody was camping out in there, hobo or something.
I haven't heard what happened to it.
I think that was the story I heard. They thought, who told me that? They thought somebody was thing it is. I think it was deserted.
It was always to be used as a church or a school, or the property reverted back to the heirs.
No, they all had that.
But none of the heirs, some of them, like Salty's on his side of the family.
Uh-huh.
Not him, you know.
Uh-huh.
But some of those people ended up selling a lot of the property.
We had all the churches. The church that's down the Ardennes, that's the old Baptist church in downtown Coffeeville, and then the Methodist church that was across the street, all of them had deed restrictions on. And I think it's interesting that the people who now, there's one property owner who owns both of those churches, because the Methodist church has been done away with. But,
is it Stringfellow?
Well, Stringfellow originally gave the land to the Methodist church.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a controversy back, it was almost a year ago now, we were going to save that Methodist church building. We had to move it, but two of our strongest members in the historic society own that land. They're the ones that have restored the Baptist church, and they're restoring Jack Kirkland's old house, which is now the house in Alabama. And
who are they?
Their names are Chaddock, George Chaddock.
Never heard that.
I'm told he owned half of Addison before he started developing. Sort of semi-retired now, and he's turned a lot of it over to his son. But they have been very active in our historic society, been very supportive, give us money and things like that. And he came along, and from the earliest day I can remember, he told us that we could have that Methodist church going if we'd move it. And we'd say to him, George, you'd stay in the church, why not? It needs to stay there. And he wanted it made.
So finally, I had those their church
he came to a head finally, and he said, if you don't move it, I'm going to have to tear it down. So we proposed moving it to raising the money, move it to Great Lunch Place Park.
Yes,
great. And we thought we had it. And would you believe, before it could come to a head and go to the city council, he withdrew his offer and demolished it. It's a big mystery as to why he didn't. All he had to do was wait 2 more weeks. And either he had had his way and we'd have moved it,
yeah.
Or if the city council wouldn't let it, he could have demolished it. It would have been his fault. But anyway, right before he did it, I went down to the Baker's building and dug out the deed from that thing, where Stringfellow gave it to the trustees of the church, and you know, lo and behold, it says it's got a main church. And I thought,
yeah.
Steve, you need to know that when you go to use that land or something else, somebody's not going to be too happy. Jack Kirkland, one of the few, maybe.
Yeah, I have, I have fiddled around with the idea to really check on the Bethel Church.
Yeah.
Because that was parish property, you know.
Yeah, it'd be hard. I went searching. I never found... I'm not sure I went looking for that. But, a review for me. Okay, well, we know James Parrish was here by, what, 1843, you think? 48?
41, he was on the immigrant certificate.
Okay,
well, let's just say 44.
44, you think he was in this area?
No, 44. I think he was in Bannon County.
Mm-hmm.
But by 1850, he was in Dallas County, where you're able to trace it.
Right.
Most
of our records here have always indicated he was here by 48. I don't know where that comes from. But.
Well, because they looked at the land grant, and it says that he was married prior to 1848.
Maybe so.
Now, he could have been here. But I know he was, to document it, he was here 1850 for sure,
mm-hmm.
on the census record.
Yeah, he had it on the census record.
Yeah.
So he got 640 acres, which is a grant of land to a married man. In a year he had to build a log cabin to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And we know he did that. And he had a family. He had kids.
No.
He didn't have any kids.
He never had children.
And he died by...
1853 he died.
Sure. His brother, Henry. He came in and took over the homestead.
Well, he died in 18... This is how I found out when James really died. I found records at the courthouse. When he died, it reverted back to his father because he was the sole surviving parent.
Mm-hmm.
His mother had already passed away. And I found records where he sold the property to Henry for $1. And then Henry married James's widow. He took her back to Indiana. That's where her folks were.
Mm-hmm.
And he married her, and he brought her parents and brothers back to Dallas County. The Record family, Josiah Record and his family.
So yeah. They lived here in Carville, Warren Carville.
Yes.
Here, when Henry and Elijah were living here.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be Josiah, and then his sons.
John and Silas.
John and Silas were the ones who were home.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, I went looking one time for any names that I recognized. In marriage, things in Dallas County. In death certificates, in property, couldn't find any records at all. Any record of record.
No.
And,
you know why? They're stored now. Now supposedly by now they have it on microfilm.
I went through the index. I didn't actually find the piece, but I couldn't find anything index either.
Well, I couldn't find anything on James Parrish until I went to Austin.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Barker Library, and they had this book, these, all these records that had been put together by the WPA. And I said, well, can I just go through the box? Or, you know, they just had them in a box. So they brought it out, and I found James Parrish, where he died and everything. But, you know, it was under a different name.
Oh,
yeah. And
did
after I
filed it wrong?
Yeah. Well, no, there was the executor was a lady, and they filed it under her name. Mm-hmm. And that's, so then it gave me somewhere to start, and I came back to Dallas and went to the library and the courthouse and found so many things.
Now, after Henry Parrish died, what's that, I got to stand somewhere, but he lived quite a while, didn't he? And then after he died, then obviously the heirs divided the land.
Well, he died 1866. And Elijah Jane divided up the land and gave each one of her sons property.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how much she
had? No, it's in here.
Is it?
I haven't worked on this for quite a while.
I
took a new job.
I have to take all my notes. I can't remember anything.
It's in here,
it's
though.
In there. Yeah, it's in your cup.
It tells you all the children,
uh-huh.
who they married. It's in this book part here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And one of them is still living out here. Joe Parrish.
Yeah, Joe Parrish. That's the only one.
Mm-hmm. My mother was born out in Coppell in 1900.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And she died in 1983.
Let's trace that back now. Okay, so your mother was?
Elijah Jane Parrish.
Parrish. And
she was named after Elijah.
Sir, and go back, sir. And then she was the daughter of?
Francis Marion. They called him Frank. Francis Marion.
Francis Parrish. And then he goes in, and he was the son of, let's go back one more generation.
Of Henry. Mm-hmm. Henry S. Parrish.
So that was the original Henry Parrish, right?
Yes.
Elijah's.
Yeah, Frank.
The original Elijah's.
Francis Marion's father and mother were Henry and Elijah Jane.
Yeah. Well, you really have a direct tie to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't mean. So Henry was your, what, grandfather?
Great.
Great? Just great?
Great grandfather.
Just great grandfather. Not very far removed. You know, rich heritage there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then that's prepping your father.
Yeah. They were really instrumental in starting this little Coppell.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've never found anything that indicates that anybody was here before them. Coppell was started relatively late in terms of history, about the same time as Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of South Texas and was up in the east, you know, 1700s, 1600s, things like that. Nothing there, but nothing here, but Indians, I guess.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting to know what troubles, if any, Frank Parrish and Henry Parrish faced with the Indians. You know, but by 1848-1850, there may not have been many Indians in this immediate area. They could be close. They could be.
Well, they had Indian trouble.
Did you? Did
yeah.
you ever seen any indication that they did?
Just heard stories. Now, when James and Elijah came to Dallas County, Elijah Jane was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
when they marry.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
But that was so common,
yeah,
you know?
It was common.
Us women have come a long way, honey. You know, they just got rid of you. You were just another mouth to feed. And she told stories about he would leave for weeks at a time. But they had to go out and hunt Indians.
Uh-huh.
And he would be, and they also had to go to Nacogdoches for any court proceeding. That was the county seat. And to buy supplies. And she said he would be gone weeks at a time. After she married Henry, she asked him to put a door on their cabin. And he wouldn't, and he'd be gone too for weeks. And he had made her a table. And on one of his trips when he came home, she had took the table and used leather for hinges and made her a door. Yeah.
Now, how do you hear these stories from Elijah Day? Are they written down anywhere, or are they just passed down in the family?
When I started this, there were a lot of the older relatives
so
left,
the records and the
cousins, and and then another time, a story is told that she asked for geese to make mattresses and pillows, and he didn't bring her any geese, and he came home one day, and all the chickens were running around without any feathers. And she told him that she had picked the feathers to make matches, you know. So he bought her some geese so she'd leave the chickens alone. Yeah. She was a really tough woman. 5 times she was married.
Really?
Yes.
So she married 3 times after Henry?
Yes.
Good gracious, did she live here?
Yes.
Well, she did, because she's married here.
She married James. And then she married Henry. And then she married a man named Carter. And then she married a guy named Askew. Now, they had one child, Henry Askew.
Askew.
Mm-hmm.
A-S-K-I-E?
A-S-K-E-Y.
Mm-hmm. So that was number 4.
Yes. And she married the, I should know this, because I looked and looked for her death certificate, and it was under her last husband's name. I'm so sorry.
It's in here. It's in here. Okay.
Yeah.
I never heard that before, because I didn't know it. I didn't know
it was
her.
Yeah, it's in here. She,
so that, from all those marriages in her, came the children that eventually inherited James Parrish's land.
Yes. She only had one child with Askew, and they were in Decatur.
Well, they moved from here.
Well, eventually, her husband, that Askew, died, and the son moved to Decatur, and he built her a little house, and she lived in Decatur for a while.
And then?
No.
No?
She's through with marriage.
So Askew was her last one?
No, next to the last.
Oh, but I say she married
I'm
again.
I'm so sorry.
But she married again when she moved to Decatur, you mean?
No, she married before.
Oh, before she moved to Decatur. Oh.
I wished I could. I'm so sorry.
Really?
I had brain surgery in 92, January 92,
really?
And again in May 92.
Uh-huh.
And once in a while, short memory lapses.
Well, you're lucky I don't remember anything. I'm just picking your brain here.
I'm glad you are.
It's in there. You'll get it.
Yeah, you'll see. It's in here. All the people she married. And so she moved up to Decatur.
So apparently her last husband died before she moved to Decatur, don't you think?
Well,
to be with her son?
They say, well, yeah, Askew.
Yeah.
And then she married this other guy, but they say it didn't last long because he was just after her property. And the boys didn't like him, you know. But when she married, you know, I found her. Now, she lived in Louisville for a while. This is how I found her.
Mm-hmm.
She was living with this fellow, the last one she married, and his son as a boarder. And then I later found where they married.
Hmm.
And she had this old Indian woman that she'd had for years. The story goes that a doctor and his family came through, and they had the woman, the Indian, and they didn't want her, so they left her with Eliza Jane. And she just used her as a slave. Mm-hmm. They said she was very mean to her. So when they moved to Decatur, they had a fireplace, and this Indian slept on the floor, and she froze to death in front of the fireplace.
Oh,
and Eliza Jane's son, they buried her in a little place up there called Drop Community.
Hmm.
But Eliza Jane died in Coppell. She got sick, and she came back to visit her daughter, and she died. But you know, this her mother, Lavinia Record, she sent her to a poor farm.
Sent Eliza to a poor farm?
No, Eliza Jane sent her mother to a poor farm. It was in Hutchins.
Because she didn't want to take care of it, couldn't
Well, she didn't want to take care of her, probably. My uncle said she was too mean to go to heaven, and even the devil didn't want her, so she was just floating around up there looking for a place to go. But anyway, they let her know when her mom died, but no, they didn't claim the body.
Well, that's kind of different.
Mm-hmm. So she's
now, you
buried.
Mentioned earlier when, let's see, someone, when they came to Texas, so that must have been James. Who died at the Red River? Who did you say?
Mitchell. James' brother-in-law.
Oh, that's right.
William Mitchell.
So James Parrish, when he was coming to Texas for his land grant, to get his land, he had his brother, who did you say he had?
His sister.
Sister.
And his brother.
Brother-in-law.
William Mitchell.
And they died, or she died, or
The brother-in-law died of fever.
Uh-huh.
Along with five kids.
Five of their kids died.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere around the Red River.
Mm-hmm. And she went back to Indiana and remarried and had five more kids.
Mm-hmm.
She married Kendall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to mail that to you, that whole story.
So that explains then why his sister and brother-in-law didn't end up in Carville.
Mm-hmm.
He died, and then she went back.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. There would have been even more of them around.
Yes.
Even more relatives.
I have since, I've been into this, found a great-grandkids of James' sister
mm-hmm.
in Indiana.
Mm-hmm. What other things do you remember or know about anything that relates to this? For example, they donated into the land for what we now call Historic Bethel Cemetery,
mm-hmm.
which was called Sam's Cemetery, I believe, wasn't it?
Well,
do you know anything about that?
I've heard the story, but I cannot find any documents on that.
No.
Not even on a sand cemetery.
No.
At the courthouse.
But do you agree that the parishes gave that cemetery for
public
and all that?
I had the deed showing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had the records.
So they done it, they gave the land to what? What did the deed go to? Was it just
for a community burial?
So it was just some trustees took it all of it. I don't know who he would have deeded it to.
There are no names on there. I'll get you a copy of that too.
I don't have one.
Do you have a tablet and a pencil and you
sure.
write down what I'm telling you I'm going to get to you? Because I think it's cross-civility. I don't want to admit
upstairs, I have boxes of things that I've accumulated. I've got to go through and organize them.
Feel like the Lone Ranger.
And when somebody will ask me something about history, I say, I have to go look it up.
I know.
Okay.
Indeed to the Bethel. School.
To Bethel.
Church and cemetery.
And deed to Bethel Cemetery.
Would you like to have the church records too?
Well, not anything you've got.
Okay, put down church records. You know, I had the church records for the Methodist. And
for
I gave
Methodist Church?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I gave them to the library.
Well, I think the library has them, or the Methodist
Not
Church
this library. I gave them to the Dallas.
Oh, really?
On the 8th floor in the genealogy.
Well, the Methodist Church has something of them. The United Methodist Church now, which is a descendant of that church, has a lot of stuff that they, well, they may have copied it out of the library. But you gave the records of the Methodist Church to the genealogy section of the
Dallas Public Library. They're towards the back in the file cabinet.
I never have been in the genealogy section. Never have gotten into the genealogy.
You'll go crazy.
I know, I thought it'd drive me
it's
crazy.
It's addictive, Pete.
Well, I know, and I didn't really have any reason to trace anything back. The only reason I had to try to trace any family names back would be if I had found any connection to the word Top L. And I did search everything I could find. I was fortunate when I was in graduate school, I worked for a title company and learned how to research and stuff. I worked in the courthouse for a while, and I went looking for any connection spelled any way that I could to Top L. Because, of course, the story has always been, and we know, that the railroad gave the name Top L to its depot.
Mm-hmm.
We know that, and that's where the town got its name. It changed its post office because it was the Top L depot. But then before that, it was Gibbs, and then Mr. Barnett Gibbs and everything. But the trouble is that for years, even when I was a kid, I had heard that the name Coppell was the last name of the engineer on the train that came through.
Oh, see, I never heard that.
And I got, and Jack Kirkland says she remembers, but they'll, and Jack and Clayton Harwell and Ruby McDowell and those people who are still around, they're all just living full-time residents who were born here. I'd asked them that, and they would say, well, you know, I always heard, but they never had more evidence than I did. All they ever always heard. And I said, well, then I got to thinking, I got to exploring, and I thought, why would a railroad name a depot, which was quite modern, after a man who was an engineer? An engineer on a train was not much more than a coal shoveler.
Exactly.
And that didn't make much sense. So I thought, if he was, now we know he's somehow tied to the railroad. So I thought, maybe he was a businessman or something like that. What other stories do you have about the parishes? Have we missed anything? We got them up through the establishment and the death and the dividing up of the land.
Well, they were instrumental in the property for the Bethel Church and the school.
Yeah.
But we have this here. I'll bring that copy
all
to that.
You know, when I went to the archives, one of the things I found, I think I told you this other time, one of the things I found when I went to the archives is a receipt, a handwritten, a bill, actually, that when Sam Houston camped here, or at least when his agents camped here in 1850, whenever it was, I can't remember.
Later.
Yeah. When they camped here,
or somewhere.
When they camped here at Great Lake Springs, and he was signing trying to be treated with Indians, which wasn't successful in the answer, his agents had to buy something like some reins or something like that, or something like that, some implement that they needed, and they bought it from a local farmer. And they wrote out a bill and sent it back to, I guess in those days it was Washington on the Brazos, the capital, so that he could be paid. And I have a copy of that, and it's dated. It tells what it is, like I said, it's something like something for horses or something, I don't know, leather goods or something. And it had Great Lake Springs on it. It was written on it. So that was one of the most interesting things I found lying there, especially when you can put your hands on those things and touch them. But there that thing was, to think. And I thought, that could have been a parish. You know,
well,
for all we know. It could have been a farmer.
My mom told me that Henry said her grandpa ran something like a way station. You know, people could stay there.
Pretty bad.
Now James died in 1853.
What did he do after he said, did I read some money? He died of a
fever.
Yeah, something. Or something like that.
Just fever. which a lot of people, I guess it was something like the flu.
Yeah. It could be anything. Mm-hmm. She could die out in those days. Like an Indian woman dying because she froze to death. That's pretty bad. Mm-hmm. So you know how cold those houses were.
Mm-hmm. I also have a copy of the records when people died. Mm-hmm. You know, the date. Mm-hmm. And it has the birthday and how they died. And I found that for John and Silas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting to look at those records.
Before we started the tape, you mentioned that somebody was buried over at Hatbury. Was that John and Silas?
No, he was home there.
That's where they were home.
Their father. Their father
and you think
was
that's
home.
Probably around Valley View.
And Luna Road over there.
Somewhere in that area. Because they had cattle down there.
At Keenan's Crossing.
Yes, Keenan's Crossing. Now, is that what you think that was? I never know where Keenan's Crossing was.
The fire record.
So Keenan's Crossing is over there somewhere in that area. As a matter of fact, we have a book that mentions Keenan's Crossing. It said it was the way the Parrish family got over here in this area across the river. Do you think Keenan's Crossing was a... What do you think it was?
Just
a low place? Or do you think it was a ferry?
I think it was a... Like a dry goods store.
It was actually a store.
Yeah.
A little location.
Well, they said at one time that Josiah Records and this Keenan had a store, you know, supplies and things like that. That's where he was from. Oh, another thing. You want the newspaper articles?
I want any.
The hanging?
Yeah, I've seen some of them, but I'd love to have them. I may have some, but I bet I don't have them as good as you do.
Newspaper of hangings. Mortality schedules is what I was talking about. Death.
Uh-huh.
Those are interesting. You wouldn't believe what people died from. I don't think they really knew what they had.
I don't think they did either. I think they just weren't sitting in general times for fever or something like that.
Exhaustion.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You see that right?
That's what they said Elijah Jane died from.
Exhaustion.
Yeah. I could see why. Five husbands. And... But you know, another story is down by Grapevine Dam, they used to bring cattle across down there on the river. And she would stand down there with her guns on her hips and make sure no one took any of her cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My mother knew her. Mm-hmm. My mother was very young. She knew her.
She was quite a Belle Starr type character, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Maybe one of the most colorful people to live around here. We don't have too many of those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was.
Good old Elijah Jane.
Wow. Her name when she died. That's embarrassing, Pete.
Well, I appreciate it. Okay.
I had an aneurysm in 92 January. Emergency surgery in the brain. And then they found another vein here that was very weak. So they sent me home for 5 months, and I went back in May, and they clipped this off so it ruptures. It won't do any harm.
Yeah, I'm very lucky. I haven't had an aneurysm.
I'm very lucky.
Yes,
really.
You are. Yeah.
You're looking at a miracle baby.
Well, that's great.
Had cancer in 79, mm-hmm. went through chemo and the whole nine yards,
mm-hmm.
and aneurysm. And 10 years ago, I thought I had the world by the tail, and then I had all the answers. But I'll tell you now, it's God.
Well, it's got to be something like that.
It's God. He's did all this. He's taking care of me. And I truly believe that.
Well, I think we have to believe it. Speaking of which, the gentries. Or
cousins.
Yeah. really related like that. Now you talk about family, but anyway, the Gentry family is getting together this Saturday to supposedly try to get as many of the family members together. Lorraine Perkle. Lorraine lives in Greatville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, she called me and said that they were getting together Saturday the 27th at the Baptist Church here, as many of their family as they can get here, mainly to look at the draft of a book they're going to put together for just the family,
mm-hmm.
which traces their history there. And she's very proud, not necessarily history, but relatives and that. And she's very proud of doing that. You know, she's worked on it very hard. I think she has another relative somewhere who's done a lot of tracing and stuff, something by the state or something. But she's doing a lot of that, She wants to be active in our little historic society, but she's awfully busy. She's been in his for a long time.
How old is she?
She's probably, let's see, how does she feel about this? Yeah, she's probably 80-something.
No, I'm not that old.
No, but she is. I don't think I'm doing her a disservice. She was over here some time ago. I asked her to come over and a cable company videotaped her. We interviewed her. She was on there, put on TV and everything. And we also did some with Martha Joe, I think.
Who did you have on last about the Paris thing?
Well, we didn't have anybody else specifically talk about Paris family, but they probably, that's where they mentioned it. That's probably where you heard it.
Well, so much...
It's probably Lorraine. Lorraine was the last one I think we did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. One of my friends out here is trying to say, there was something on cable the other day about the Paris family.
Well, this has been a long time ago, but of course what the cable does is once they get it on there, they just play it like forever.
Oh.
And it was on forever, but it's been a year at least, more than a year, of course. Yeah.
Gentry family. When?
This Saturday.
Where at the Baptist Church?
It's, I think it's probably near Fellowship Hall. Baptist Church near Capel. And of course she lived here. She was born here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the great land I lived.
Well,
she still claims Coppell as a home. And,
she lives in Grapevine?
Mm-hmm.
And what is her name, Loretta Perkle?
Lorraine
Perkle. Grapevine. Well, I had a lot of cousins that were Gentrys.
Mm-hmm. Well, we knew Gentrys, of course. When I was growing up, I guess it was not any of them still around. E.C. Gentry and Image,
mm-hmm.
and they lived across the street from us, and then there was Gentry, two or three different families.
Let's see, there was Loretta Gentry, Imogene Gentry. I'm trying to think of their mother's name.
Well, you know, Gentry Road was named after them.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they owned their land out there, which never was there. But, and there's a school up there, Gentry School. And it was one of the three that consolidated in Coppell School.
Did you put down church records?
No. Yeah, I did start.
Need? Okay, Deed to church records. Bethel. They're so interesting.
You know, remember Sally Brooks? Did you know Sally Brooks?
I remember the name. She's dead though.
Yeah, really. Sally Brooks is the sister of Jack Kirkland. And
I didn't know the Kirklands either.
No. Well, Jack Kirkland's father was Stringfellow.
Mm-hmm.
And they were some of the first settlers to land on that land there where the
Methodist
Church was and all that walk in there. But anyway, Sally Brooks taught in Bethel School. She was a school teacher in Bethel School. And of course, Jack and I were speaking at one. And they talked about a little well
mm-hmm.
down in the holler. And I guess that's, you know, there's a little creek there now to the park now, but I suspect that's where it was.
It'd be too far away from Great Lakes Springs, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, from Great Lakes Springs, but this was behind the school, so the school children would come out and go down there.
Yeah.
Because eventually, you know, the school was next to the Bethel Church, the two different buildings, and that's where she taught. And she's described it. She described it to me. Jack described it for me. And talked about school kids coming down the hill and going down that well to get a drink. And I never thought of it. I can remember as a kid riding my bicycle down what's now Bethel School Road, which wasn't just Bethel, that was an extension of, you know, that's what it meant to be, Bethel. And riding down there, it was a gravel road. And, you know, I mean, of course, my husband's there.
I want to
remember it very historically down there.
Maps. I want you to look at some maps.
Yeah.
Big maps.
Where'd you get them?
Oh, the courthouse, Austin.
And one of the things we have resolved to do in our historic society, which I don't know when I'll have to do it, but I don't know when we'll ever have time to do it, and I'll ever have time to do it, just, I think I told you this one time too, that we want to dig out all the old photographs we can, from, that everybody has, hidden away somewhere, don't even know how.
Yes.
And make new negatives of them, and put them into a book so we have a new print to look at, and beside it an envelope with a negative in. So that all the historic pictures we can get.
Well, where is all this information going to be?
Well, we decided that if we ever got it together, we'd keep it until we got it together. Then if we sort of had the, finally decided we had it all, as much as we could get, then we might turn it over to the library or something like that. But I see a lot of people come to us every time a school group wants to know something, or every time a reporter, a new reporter wants something, they think nobody's ever gone into this before. But they come to us and they want a picture or something like that. When Great Mountain Springs Park is finally rededicated, well, they did.